that none of you stayed as babies, but you grew up. And as you grew, you were trained, you were nurtured, some not good, others good. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose whether or not you didn't even have parents. You were just this little child being influenced by the world in which you were born into. Fast forward to today. Whatever age you are, age is only a number. In the kingdom of heaven, that won't be a big deal. Eternity is forever. Amen? But down here, it has significance. But we, our natural bodies, had to grow up. And remember last week when I shared that about the sequoia trees, redwoods, and how the way they survive is they get connected with one another. Well, the way we grow and be nurtured spiritually has a parallel to physically. In other words, what we're subjected to or what we allow ourselves to be subjected to either influences us to grow healthy or not to grow healthy. Amen? And then you're born and you come to this place in your life that you want a Savior. Whatever age that was, sometimes you're trained up, you don't even realize when you came to that place. You transition smoothly. But whenever that time is and you got born again, you got everything you needed and there was nothing extra you could work to get. You had it all. You had all the grace, all the mercy, all the love. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to get more love or to get more grace or to get more mercy. You got it when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, I may step on some toes here, but I want to tell you something before I go any further. Too many Christians are still thinking they're living under the curse of however they were raised. Well, you know, my dad, my grandpa, I'm into this. You need to know, and you can read Galatians chapter 3, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, every curse that was ever spoken against you or you were born into was gone. It was nailed to the cross. Amen. You've been redeemed forevermore. So if you're still operating and still having the same results of maybe your parenting or your grandparenting, it's probably because that's what you've heard. That's how you were trained. That's how you were raised up. So you've been influenced by, faith cometh by, good or bad, what we hear and what we see. Our role when we come to church, helping one another grow up, is to find out the tools that you already got and how to develop them and grow up. So I thought I'd start this morning in Galatians 5, where I've been in the fruit, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, this is New Testament. This is everything of the law was nailed to the cross. There is nothing that you got to get good enough to receive. It is done now and forevermore. And then it goes on and says, and those who are Christ's, and how many are Christ's? That's all believers, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Okay, all of that was nailed to the cross. But because we were all not raised the same way, we still got some things in our mind that has to learn and understand what really he did on the cross and who we really are. Because if we don't, we still live in the old man environment, which was nailed to the cross. And so when you see Christians floundering and so forth, it's because they're still operating not full capacity. They got full capacity in them, but they haven't realized they've got something to do with the full capacity. And so it says this, if you live in the Spirit, now you live in the Spirit when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It says, also walk in the Spirit. Everybody look at me. The walking is not God forces you to. You got it all in the Spirit. The walking is placing action behind whatever you have. And the more you use what you already have, the stronger those areas in our life become. There's a saying I use a lot of times with seniors. If you stop using it, you'll lose it. Because if you stop functioning in any capacity, you will lose the ability to be as strong in that capacity. That's just the way it's all set up. It's not that the Lord stops loving you. He'll love you no matter what you do or say. He's given you all the grace and mercy. You got the whole kingdom inside you. But if you stop operating in what you have, you don't live in the benefits that are still yours. And so we see all different levels and floundering. So my role today is encourage you not to be me, but to tap into what you already got and learn how to grow up and enjoy it and have a good time. If we're supposed to be the happiest bunch on earth because we're saved and we don't have to get good enough any longer, shouldn't we be? And if we're not, this is not condemnation. We don't start looking at, oh, if you'd only do this. We try to be an encouragement. Try to be a help. Stay there with me. You can keep your hand there. But I want to talk about this baby mentality, this growing up, what it means, coming from a baby to childhood to full scope. In 1 Samuel 2:26, just give you a foundational base in the Old Covenant. It says, Samuel grew in stature and favor with both the Lord and with men. In other words, we know his mother prayed that he'd be born, but see, he still had to grow in stature and favor, even though he was favored and he had it, but he had to walk it. Now, fast to the transitional scriptures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we pick up Jesus. You know, we always say, what would Jesus do? It's amazing, but Luke 2, verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So if he increased and we're to be like Jesus, that means we're supposed to increase. We don't get more. It's already in us, but we develop it and we cause our bodies to grow up so we're not babies any longer without beating up people that want to stay as babies because they never implement what they can implement, which would call that cause that fruit to be developed more and get mature. Go with me, if you would, to first stay with your hand in Galatians, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me show you, now we're into the New Testament, the New Covenant, where we are to live. Because of what Jesus did as he transitioned us from the old to the new. This is what Paul, and he calls it to get out of this carnal state. And I'm going to start with verse 1. And I, brethren, you may say believers, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with spiritual food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Verse 3, for you are still carnal. Now look at me. Spiritually, you're not carnal because he nailed carnality to the cross. But if you aren't operating and you're not implementing that which you already have, you walk in carnality. That dead guy that should have been buried with Christ. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, aren't you operating carnally? And behaving like just mere men? Look at me, men of God. What happens whenever I get around you? What do I call you? What? Not mere men, mighty men of God, mighty women of God. And it's amazing. I do that. Pastor Mike will tell you when I go to pastors, and it's astounding. Well, I hope so. Here's pastors sometimes. Oh, I hope I don't know. I'm thinking, you're not mere men if you got the Holy Ghost inside you and all the junk was nailed to the cross. You may not feel like it because you haven't been implementing what you need to include the feelings, but you're not mere men or mere women. You're mighty men, you're mighty women of God. And we're helping you grow up.
Come on, Pastor.
I can't make anybody in this room but myself grow up. I can't even make my wife grow up. She can't make me grow up. And we're still working at it. It hasn't worked yet. Grow not weary in well doing. Knowing this, church, flip with me to Hebrews. Just so you understand your part in this. The major part's been done. You don't have to strive. This is just walking in what's already yours. And I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 5. If you get there before me, you get a star. It's an invisible one. And I'm looking at verse 12. Mine says spiritual immaturity. But I want you to see this because I'm talking about growing up and enjoying it. The process can be fun if you'll see it as a growing experience and not beat yourself up. Now look at me. Your number one critic is yourself. The one that puts more condemnation on you than anybody else is yourself. My wife will tell you, and I'm always, come on, honey. No, you're beautiful. You got that. And it's like, oh, yeah, but this and that. And if you're not careful, you will put yourself in bondage that you've been freed from by the cross and the blood of Jesus. This is what I'm going to try and encourage you to grab a hold of today. This was Hebrews. Verse 12 of chapter 5 says this, for though by this time you should be teachers. Now, is this just for a special few? This is for every believer. By now you should be a teacher because we're supposed to be helping teach other people how to grow up. When I taught in the school systems, I was hopefully teaching kids to be stronger in the areas that I was instructing them in. I was teaching them. Now, if they chose, they probably became stronger. If they didn't, they stayed at that same level. You need someone to still teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. What's the oracles of God? It's the Word of God. You're still needing someone. Things that God wants you to know, you already got. You have to grow it up so it becomes part of your life. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Stay with me, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk stays unskilled. In other words, look at me. If you choose not to grow up the very fruit that's in you, you will not stay happy. You will not stay enjoying life. You will stay downtrodden and beat up because you're still unskilled. The skill, we have something to do with it. Any profession, you get better in the skill when you do that particular skill over and over and over again. And that's how the Word of God is set up, because it says, for everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Look at me again, because I want to make sure you're with me. Can you get more righteousness than what you got when Jesus went to the cross? You're totally righteous. Your unrighteousness is gone. But it says, you stay unskilled in the word of righteousness. It doesn't say you're unrighteous, but you stay in that woe is me state. You're a babe. And we're not saying it in an exciting way. Let me say, you stay a baby. Please, this is not to condemn anybody. This is to challenge you so you grow up. Verse 14 says, solid food belongs to only the pastor. No, it doesn't say that. It says solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Now, this isn't necessarily talking about natural age. Remember, in God's kingdom, he's the God I am. He's always present tense. So we're talking about full age. In other words, you've allowed that baby to grow up and go through adolescence and be mature. And it says, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised so they can discern both good and evil. In other words, those that choose to use those areas that they're weak in, they grow up to full maturity and they're happy again and they're not getting beat down by every wind of doctrine that comes by. Amen. They're full age. Now, this is church life. You come to church not to make God love you, not so that you look great to the pastors. It's not that you please your family. You come to church to learn some areas that you may not be fully developed in, to get some ideas on what you might use that will help you grow up. This is not where we win people to the Lord, although some people can come to the Lord. This is where we come as believers and learn what areas do I need to develop. Now, if you take that baby attitude, I know God just gave it all to me. He did give it all to you. But you got a responsibility to allow it to develop in you by reason of use. The more you implement kindness and goodness, the more it becomes developed and you become a kind and a good person. Now, you're good and you're kind by the cross, but you're not acting nor looking like you are. And so you flip people off if they cut you off. You get upset when you're hungry because you want to eat and so forth. So you allow your natural senses to dictate. So the Lord says, if you have shortened patience, then I'm going to give you a lot of opportunities to grow it up. So we learn from one another. Now, Pastor Mike doesn't know I was going to say this, but I want to toot his horn a little bit. The saddest thing is to watch people flounder as Christians and stay in the same state of unhealth, because the Lord loves you whether you're healthy or not. 2 times a month, he's not getting paid to do this, and he's not required to do this, but he's been, since he's hooked up with us, trying to give people ideas on what they can do to get healthier. He's not trying to get you into what he's using. If you end up what he's using, that's fine. Everybody has to find what works for them. But don't you think a church should be almost like a supermarket? You're coming in, you know, I'm needing some of this in my life. So if the church offers it, you come over here. Let's say you're struggling in your marriage. Wouldn't it be nice to know that maybe you could come and listen to some others that have gone through it to hear, what ideas haven't I implemented so that my marriage can get healed? Or let's just say, for example, that I keep getting fired and I can't hold a job. Maybe I need to find some men or women of God to share, what might I do better so that it doesn't happen again? Don't you think we need to pick what we need so that we can fully grow up? Without happening, well, you need to be like me. And yet, we should be the happiest. Growing up is fun. I love my dad, and he's in his 90s now, and he always said every age was his favorite age. Now, at this stage, it's a little bit challenging. But the point is this. Growing up shouldn't be something we hate. We should enjoy it, unless we stay as babies in these very areas that God wants us to get stronger in. So, going back to Pastor Mike. So we got this wellness thing where people who are struggling with health can come. And what I've heard, and I don't want to divulge if it's secrets, people are getting off things. Someone said they're drinking less pop. Someone else is smoking less cigarettes. Isn't that supposed to be what church is, to help people get stronger in these areas that are detrimental to their health? It's like our church provides it for free. You don't have to. And it's about 20 minutes after service, and you get some ideas because you're hearing from others. What did I say? Do you all have the same giftings in a church setting? No, we need the hand, needs the eye needs the foot. Maybe what you've been doing and you keep doing it isn't changing and you stay in that same condition. We call it being crazy. Same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Maybe by some born-again believers, you need to get some ideas on what other people have implemented that help them. I got an 80-some-year-old secretary that I love to pieces, Lynn. She's never ending on how she can get herself health, and she's listening to all different people, and she'll see things she sees on the internet. What do you think of this, Pastor? Well, I don't know that much about it, but go on there and ask people. Isn't that what church is supposed to be? Help one another. We're in each other's lives because we should be healthier. We should be stronger marriages if we struggle with addictions. There's ministries that have addiction classes. And some people won't go to it because I don't want anybody to know I got addiction. You know what? Do you want to get better or stay a baby? If you can't get off whatever you're addicted to that you know is destroying your health, maybe you get some ideas on some that will help you get off that without beating yourself up. Worst thing, well, I don't want to go there. Nobody at this group or no one here is going to put you down if you still want to do the destructive behaviors. But we will be grieved when we have to go to the hospital again and we got to believe for your miracle. When what you're doing is not helping the situation at all, we have to develop. Go back, if you got your Bibles, back to Galatians 5. Let me tag team two dimensions that I think are very important. One is called long-suffering. Yours may say patience. Do you think you are fully developed in that area? Don't raise your hands. Skip down a few more. Self-control. Do you think your self-control is fully developed? Now listen to me, church. I used to, for the longest time, think, well, it's this easy. Because maybe some areas are easier for you, but they're not easier for everybody. So instead of making people feel less, encourage them to get into the areas that need to work on and come up with some ideas on what they can do to have full age because you're using self-control. Amen? So you get with people that you trust and are not going to put you down to get ideas on what you can do. If you got whatever your issues are and you try to walk it alone, I'm telling you, you're going to fail because, first of all, it's already been nailed to the cross, but the Bible says we need each other. We need the support of one another. And if you don't hook up with others that have your best interests at stake, you're walking alone and you're not going to have the different avenues that might help you get a victory in the area that you keep falling in a hole in. And I'm not going to start listing them because you know your life. You know whether or not you feel good. You know whether or not you're getting good sleep. You know whether or not you're able to keep the joy of the Lord, which you never lose. It's always there. But if you don't develop it, you don't look like you got the joy. And if you don't have patience, which is a sign or the gift that came with the Holy Ghost called peace, it means you've got to grow in those areas so you learn. What are some people doing to develop in these areas? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 2:21, you don't need to turn to it, is in your notes. The Bible says the whole building is being fit together. We grow into this holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22 of that, Ephesians 2 says, being built together, everybody say together, for a dwelling place of God. We know that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, but we also as a body are a body of the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we're to grow together. And if we don't yield to note there's some things I can grow from others, we stop. I'm not done growing. I'm continuously looking to be a better man of God. I want to grow in whatever areas I need growth, and if I identify it, my wife will help point them out, then I work on those. in my grocery store of choice. And so we ask one another, what do you do? What do you have? Some of you are really free to do that. Pastor, I not only need prayer, what would you suggest? We'll suggest avenues. Others are too proud. I don't want anybody to know. I just think I got it all together. Well, we already know, because the fruit, when it grows, it's seen. And when you hear, and when you're not here in church and you're cussing and swearing and you're short, you need to grow up in those areas. Not because I'm telling you that, because God says if you use these areas, you grow up in those areas. Why should we go through our whole life training up our children and they only see us losing our temper and shouting and screaming and flipping people off or not being able to get out of addictive behaviors or not being able to push aside something that's not healthy for us? Why? Because we are living epistles to somebody, hopefully to those around us. And I'm telling you, I want to be looking to you to help others look to them, because together we have the mind of Christ and we grow up and become powerful. So Ephesians, you're with me, 4, verse 11 says, Jesus himself gave some in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, stay right there and now look at me. I am a pastor. I know I'm a pastor, but I am not a pastor that's more important than you, more loved than you, more anointed than you. I'm just one of you. That God has put this on me to help others see truth that they absolutely have as I have. I don't have any heads up. I don't have more truth in my Bible than you have. But he's raised up these different people, and this is why he's raised them up in your body. To be equal, co-laborers, but this is what it says. To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Now, aren't we all what? Ministers. So this isn't to a select few. This is for every believer. My role is to get you equipped or get you growing so that you can do the work of the ministry and you will build up the body of Christ. I need help building up the body of Christ. I can't do it alone and you can't. We got to help each other get to that place. And so we draw from those that are helping us grow up. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of it. We got the Son of God, but we got to know that we got the Son of God. We become a perfect man. What kind of church is God coming back for? A spotless one. See, when we get to this place, everybody wants the rapture. I'm telling you, let's get perfect, and then we'll be able to say, okay. To the measure the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we no longer are children. This is to believers, folks. The Lord doesn't want us to stay as children. He wants, because his children get tossed to and fro and they're carried about with everything. Now I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what happens. They're tossed to and fro. Where's your joy? Where's your peace? Where's your long-suffering? Where's your self-control? You got none. You got it all, but it's like still a baby. You got to develop it. So you're able to be tricked by men by their cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This is where religious folks try to control congregations and make you think I'm the only one that can help free you. Nonsense. He has already freed you. In fact, let me give you another nugget. You'll hear the Lord's Prayer. Remember when he taught his disciples to pray, and one of the phases or phrases in there says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's already in heaven. Do you know that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, and when you actually, even before you receive him, do you know that the kingdom came? Do you know that that prayer was transitional? We weren't yet there because nobody was saved yet. He hadn't gone to the cross. Do you know that the kingdom of heaven is already on earth? as it's going on. You know why I know that? Because we got the Holy Ghost that brought the kingdom, and right now it's going on here as it's going on in heaven. Now, we aren't fully developed yet, so we're not seeing the fruit that we're going to see, but the more we work at it and we challenge ourselves, you know what? I got it all. I want to be part of this working force and get stronger to help others. And we become this mature. 1 Peter 2:2 says, newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they grow up, even as a baby. We're challenged. Peter is challenging, get the word. Get the word. Live the word. Grow up in the word. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You're growing. You're not getting more grace. You got it all, but you grow in it. You understand what he did for you. You understand what's already yours. To him be the glory now and forevermore. You don't get more. We grow up in the understanding of what we already possess. So no longer is there an excuse. Well, Pastor Weldon, I used to hear that you're just a very disciplined person. I got the same self-control as you got. And whatever area you think that somebody's doing better, it's probably only because they've developed that very thing that the Lord wants you to develop. And it would be helpful to ask for help. Humble yourselves, and the Lord will release. It's already ours. The only way we get better is not being lone rangers and getting help from others. Did you ever notice? I was meditating on this, and let me just sidetrack. Do you know that my dad's generation, and even the generation after him, that are older now, do you know that generation, even when I was being raised, that I was being trained and disciplined in self-control? Do you know that my dad and my mom wouldn't let me sleep in Sunday mornings? That wasn't even an issue. My parents never let me quit anything. If I went out for a sport and I saw it wasn't going to be mine, I went out for it, I take it to the end of the season. Do you know that that generation, you know, that we kind of laugh and they say, walk it off, wasn't a bad generation? It was trying to put some backbone in us so that we'd be strong. Do you know that it was that generation that protected our land and fought the wars and drove out the enemy? Do you know that it was that generation, a lot of them, that lived through the Depression and didn't complain but did whatever they could to get through it? They developed that self-control. I'm hungry, but I'll do whatever I can to get what I need and get my family fed. Do you know that it was that generation that began to develop the infrastructure of what we are blessed with right now? They called it the Industrial Revolution. Came up with all kinds of witty ideas. Do you know how significant that generation is? And that's why, church, that generation was not bad, and we've got to get back to that self-control being developed and not giving our kids and everybody an avenue to say, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel good. Do you know quitting never accomplished anything? Do you know that quitting never won a war? That generation was reliable, honest, they had integrity, they were diligent, hardworking. They survived. They were survivors. They weren't complainers. But they didn't have any more of the seeds than we have. It's just they learned to develop what they had. When my mom, when I got up, and there were six of us kids, and we weren't just perfect little kids. I could not get on the bus until my bed was made and my room was clean. And I thought, oh my gosh, where has that gone? Oh, the kids bucked the system. Okay, don't worry about it. Our house was neat and tidy, not because my mom was a neat and tidy person. It's because she didn't let us be lazy bums. And she taught us self-control. She taught us disciplines. It wasn't a dirty word. When I went into the military, there were so many during my era that were getting drafted, they were resisting and fighting because they had never been raised. Now remember, if you weren't raised with that kind of environment, that's why the church is so important to help give you good ideas on how to better the areas you missed out on. That's why you don't stay away from those that will help you grow up. You might not have had a healthy mom and dad. You might not have learned the principles of what it takes. When I stole something from a little kid and I brought it home and my dad says, "We didn't buy you that. You stole it." And I denied it, but he didn't let me off the hook. And I had to go wait for a bus for this kid to get off to give him his little plastic gun or whatever it was. I'm telling you, church, that taught integrity. You can ask Hemlock. I don't think I ever had called in sick. I would definitely did not get there late. In fact, in the military, if you're on time, you're late. Where have we lost that? I'm telling you, we're returning because we're going to develop these things in our lives and get it back. And be men and women full of age. And disciplines are not a dirty word. Self-control is not a dirty word. It's a helpful thing to conquer where we're at. I thank God for the greater freedom in my life because of what my mom and dad imparted, self-control. They helped that area. And they helped the long-suffering be developed in patience. I couldn't wait. I wanted. I had the car I wanted. I wanted this souped up. I wanted this Mopar. I wanted this 3 deuces. I wanted the 440. I wanted my six-pack Super B. And my dad made me work. I got paid working for my dad. He had a farm on the side, paid me $1 an hour, and I saved every dollar. Then I had a couple calves. I could not. He made me have to milk a cow morning and night. I didn't want to do that, but he knew. He said, "Well, if you want that car," now this is years, "if you want that car, you got to work for it. It's not just going to be given to you." So I milked that cow morning and night and saved my pennies and put it in. At the end, I'm getting ready to graduate. Now I can look. I can see. And my wife will tell you, I got the hottest car when I got that. My mom and dad did not say no because I had earned it. I'd worked for it. I had control. I did not just blow my money on every little thing and everything. I saved it. I'm telling you that because I was born into a good family. If you weren't, that's why we got good families here. To help you revisit these areas that you're lacking in. To get stronger and get developed and to grow up. You're not in a generational curse because Jesus is your Lord. You've been redeemed of that. You have no excuse. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm telling you reality. It's the way it is. Quitting was not a word in my household. When I went to work and when I was going to school, when I married PK, I worked 3 jobs at a time. She worked whatever she was. We were taught, if you want to succeed, you do it. Did we look forward to it? We're just newly married, 17 and 18. And I tried to wrestle when I was at Central. And I'd come home all beat up. And my wife would be coming home from one of her jobs and said, "What's the matter, honey? It's not fun anymore. It's work. These guys play for games." And so I developed, but you did what you had to do. She worked burger chef. Some of you remember the burger chefs. Then she went, promotion. We went to Holiday Inn. She'd come home and on the bed every night at 17 and 18, she would take her apron out with all her tips. We felt rich. Wow. And she'd empty those and we would save those. And then I was the custodian. I was bringing home things that the little thing, rubber bands and stuff. We laughed. Whatever I thought we wouldn't have to pay for. Whatever it took. I ran the pro shop. We did all these extra jobs because it took that to create a good marriage, to prepare possibly for good children. Now you're my children. But it took some effort. It took some of that fruit to get developed. And here we are almost 50 years later, still going for it, still excited, still in love with each other. I got a wife that doesn't stop. She wants to keep growing. I want to get more. She's working with all these youngsters now. And praying that they are able to transpose Sarah. Hopefully you're learning to get the flute up here. Cool. And I'm saying, "Honey, no, you're not over the hill. We're part of the hill, but we're not over it." What a gift. It's free. Thank God for you parents submitting and allowing PK to speak into their lives. I had one person here one time said, well, my kids, there's hundreds of kids at this other thing. And I said, well, yeah, that's fine. You never hear me put down other places, and I'm not even going to mention where that was. But I'm telling you, here, she'll get them under her wing. She'll teach them what it is to love God. She'll give them opportunity to fail and pick you back up. What a gift! But you can't make people use what's right there. We're blessed people. We're a blessed people. Blessed. Quitting doesn't produce winners. Rips apart the fabric of families. Results in chains, devastation. Shuns responsibility and ignores commitments. See, if you weren't raised with someone that taught that, you don't have that developed. But here we got some of you know. I say, hey, before you make big decisions, let the church know if you're going to get ripped off. Glenda knows. I said her one of the first things I sent her down. I says, honey, they're going to come from all over the place, out of the woods, to want to have you buy things. They're going to want now. I don't know how they know when people are widows. They're going to come out and they're going to, please, don't make any big things without bouncing things off. I got a mechanic down here that will tell me whether or not when I send people down there, whether their vehicle is worth fixing. He's not going to rip them off and fix things that don't need to be fixed. He'll tell me it's not fixable. That's what I need. We need a church where we take care of one another and we look out for one another. But if you don't yield to that, well, I don't want anybody to know. We need each other. It's a good work. Our buildings are only paid because you are such good givers and we keep giving to other ministries and God keeps opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings. We can't keep up with it. This bar that Pastor Mike was talking about, it's a beautiful, this is a first class and there was no way in the world in the natural. But God's good. What did we do this last week, Lynn? We're sending to his ministries, take care of pregnant, unwed mothers. We got a table for the rescue mission. We got another table for this. We're blessing these ministries because I'll tell you what, you rescue people off the streets, it's not easy. There's needs. My wife gave me all her purses. Give that to parishioners on patrol because they'll help people that can't. I'm telling you, we are a giving bunch. And because of that, God keeps opening it up. So here we go. I'm with my wife getting a service on my vehicle. And they got 60% on the one that's beautiful. And I'm thinking, cool. And then she has her interior design thing. And then she gifted us. And I'm just thinking, thank you, Jesus. So come Tuesday, it's being delivered. You know why? Because you all are givers. We're not hoarding it. Well, we got bills. We're going to take what you give and spend it on ourselves. No, we take the first fruits of what you guys bless and we give it away. We give it to the local schools. We give it to local Christian organizations. Why? Because God says, who is Lord over your finances? And we say you are. And when you keep him number one, you can thank God. Well, some might say, well, this isn't that fabulous. It's not brick. I'm telling you what. When you appreciate where we came from, thank you, Jesus. Every time Pastor Mike and I, we have an improvement, and would you like that? You're like, I didn't even notice it. See, you're just so loving and blessed when you come. We're noticing it. Every little thing we do is a blessing. Amen? So let's not take each other for granted, but let's look where we can be a blessing and help one another and grow up. And enjoy the process. Amen? Let's stand to our feet, church. Thank you, Lord. We always like to give an invitation. We don't always know the circumstances of why people tune us in or why people visit here. But the most important decision that we ever make is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. So all those curses and all that junk gets reminded that it's nailed on the cross and Jesus isn't going to go back on it. It's already done. So if you're listening, you never made Jesus Christ your Lord, or you've been kind of slippy and slidey, just say, Lord, today I'm seriously giving you my heart. Forgive me. He's already forgiven you. But it's good for you to hear yourself saying that so that you can enjoy the bounty. And I pray for everyone that's make Jesus Lord, that you will get connected to a local church that will help you grow up as almost like a department store of choices that can help you in the areas that you need help in. So you can grow and enjoy it in the process. And Father, I pray as we are released today that the areas of our lives, there will not be condemnation or bondage, but there will be challenges to increase and be better in these areas that we're weak in. And the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. So we say we're strong in you, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love on one another. This is your family that supports you and believes with you. Encourage one another and enjoy.